because Tony Stark's an idiot. this is all his bright idea. All of it.
Okay, he's not in this book to defend himself. So.
And even if he was around to defend himself, he'd be like, yeah, so I was drunk at the time. What do you want from me? Trenchcoat Mafia, let me tell you, I had like the ultimate episode of Podcast X. It was all ready to go. It was going to be the best one ever. What happens? Booster Gold appears and makes off with the episode. He said, I didn't need it and it wasn't going to work anyway, and he had more use for it. Now he's gone. Now it's gone, and you'll just have to settle for this episode with
Timmy Doom
instead.
I never liked that damn Booster Gold.
He's always doing that.
Yeah, I hated him when I first met him in the Justice League of America in 1987, and I hate him now.
See, actually, I thought those old comics were funny, the Wah-ha-ha Justice League.
Yeah, I don't know where everybody calls it that. I don't know where that comes from.
Well, they would go Wah-ha-ha when someone would tell a joke.
But I guess so.
Yeah. I have no respect for most of the DC characters, so I really don't have any problem with like seeing them made into jokes.
Well, the early on, as I was telling Derek, early on, like the first, you know, within the first 20 issues or whatever, that's one of the ones I collected as a kid, and they weren't so blatant with it, in my opinion. It had a serious undertone, and the jokes were there, but then later on, that became the trademark of the Giffen, Dan Mateus.
Yeah, it's probably just as well because, like, yeah, it did start going like downhill after the first couple of years, but... Oh, this is Podcast X, if I didn't mention. And...
Well, if they download it on the Podcast X website, or if they went to iTunes and they have Podcast X in their iPod, they would know that, right?
You know, I never gave it all that thought. I'm like, I don't know, it just seemed like the right thing to do to, like, introduce the show with the name of
okay.
it. I don't know. Okay. That's well, a good point. Okay.
If you hear Trench Coast Mafia, then you know it's Podcast X.
Yeah, we're reviewing... Oh, I should say, this is like a listener recommendation from Taskmaster Peace, who has his own show at allhiphopreview.com, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
We're reviewing Thunderbolts, starting with When It Got Good, issue 110. It's true. What?
I heard, but people said it was like great during the Civil War with Fabian Nicieza, whatever.
No one can pronounce that guy's name, including me. Nicieza? I don't know.
Nicieza?
Well, I'm lying. I was going to say I never read it, but I did used to read it when Kurt Busiek wrote it, like way back when. And, like, I read the miniseries, The Avengers versus Thunderbolts miniseries, because Busiek co-wrote it. But Fabian, however you say his name, he's one of the guys, like, didn't he ruin the X-Men in the 90s? Him and Scott Lobdell, like, whatever you pronounce his name?
I don't like any 90s stuff. Plus, he worked with Rob Liefeld on X-Force.
Well, there you go. He's like he's tainted by suck by association. Oh, ugh.
And I don't like Jeff Loeb because he works with Rob Liefeld either.
Well, I don't like Jeff Loeb because he's one of the writers on Smallville.
Well, he is. Oh my God! And he works on that damn Heroes that's overrated.
Well, I saw like one scene and there was a blonde girl and there were two of her and one was evil and I'm like, okay, I'm out.
It's one of those serial shows where you gotta watch every episode to get it, and I watched four or five, and it moves so slowly. No thanks. It's like it's what you call the books that are written for the trade. That's what I would call it. A TV show.
TV shows that are broadcast for the DVD.
Exactly.
Yeah, you watch all 22 in the whole season. It'll be great.
That's what they do it, so people could buy those whole seasons. But that decreases viewership for the, you know, for the rest of the season, though. While you're putting it on TV and nobody gonna watch it. Because, like, yeah, if I missed like two or three of them, I guess I'll wait for the DVDs to come out.
You know what pisses me off about Smallville and Heroes? They're like shows that are meant for people who wouldn't be caught dead reading a comic book or seeing like a superhero movie where there's a superhero who wears a costume and stuff. Because they can say, oh, well, yeah, I watch Heroes, but, you know, that's not really a superhero show.
And then I hate when those quote-unquote normal people who don't read comics come to our movies. Like, when I went to see Spider-Man in the movie theater was packed, and I had this old squishy guy sitting next to me swishing in his seat, and he's like, this is so stupid, this movie's so stupid. And he was shifting on his boyfriend, then he shifted over to my side, then he shifted back. And I'm like, dude, why don't you get the fuck out of here if you don't like it? You know, I hate people who go to movies just because their friends are going and they feel they got to go and they know they're going to hate it. But he's ruined my movie experience, you know? And then I was looking, I was enjoying the movie, and I had the nerve to even, you know, laugh and enjoy it at one point. And the guy turned to me and looked, and I looked right back at him. I was hoping he would say something, but he turned away. I was going to punch him in his face. I was going to punch him in his face in the movie theater.
Damn. Well, how was Spider-Man 3? I didn't see it yet.
I enjoyed it well enough, you know. But then again, when I saw Spider-Man 2 in the movie theater, I was like, okay, I enjoyed this. And I never saw it again. And later on, when it came on TV, I watched a little bit of it, that scene where the Dr. Octopus tentacles came alive. And I'm like, this is stupid. It's like, it might be one of those movies where I can only watch it once. So I don't know. I may have to watch it again just to make sure that I really like it.
I was looking forward to it. I downloaded it. I'll get around to it.
Don't you pay for any? But you went to the movies to see The Host. You didn't download that.
I don't even know if that was downloadable or not. I mean, this is some. The Host is some obscure Korean movie that like three people probably saw, let alone had like any kind of copy of to be able to download.
If it's been at the movie theaters and it's like a science fiction movie, you could probably get it downloaded. But you, some other movie you went to go see that was a comic book movie recently or in the past few months.
Oh, yeah. Starhawk dragged me to see Ghost Rider. That wasn't my idea.
Okay.
I saw that under protest.
That and Superman. Oh, you downloaded that too. Never mind.
There you go.
That's sad. Okay,
well, I'm actually glad I didn't pay for that. Super stalker. It's okay, Lois. I know you've got my kid, and you're like raising him without me doing anything, raising a finger to support you or him. But hey, I'll be around. That still annoys me. See, you had to bring that up. Now I can't.
Okay, never mind. I don't know if they're making a I think they were bragging because they're gonna make a sequel of this. But then I heard they weren't gonna make a sequel of it. I heard that somebody else is gonna be attached or something.
DC has such a hard time getting their properties to become movies now. You saw they cast what's-his-name as the Hulk? Ed Norton?
Well, as Bruce Banner, right?
They cast...
What happened? There was nothing wrong with Eric Banner. It's just the director was the bad seed in that whole thing.
You know, I didn't even mind most of the movie until, like, the ending. As soon as Nick Nolte gets superpowers.
I hated that whole movie. Well, except for maybe the fight. I didn't even like the freaking fighting against the army scenes. I didn't like any of that stuff. And that movie is too long. And Hawkeye used to be my favorite superhero. But, you know, there's one good thing about them remaking this movie. Redoing the cast. I don't have to deal with that mopey Jennifer Connelly. She was so... she's so mopey.
She
trim her eyebrows too.
I like that she's one of the few actresses in I'm scared to look at how many minutes we're in. We haven't touched these Thunderbolts. But anyway, yeah, she's one of the few actresses in Hollywood who doesn't, like, pluck her eyebrows within an inch of her life. Like, she looks like a human female. Tell me she wasn't hot in Labyrinth.
Yeah, that's when she was under 20 years old then. No wonder you liked her.
I'm just saying.
Well, I thought you would hate her now because she's over 30.
She's hanging in there. Sort of, kind of. Hey, well, wait,
she was high career opportunities. I just want to say that. Oh, okay, over.
I didn't see that. But
hey, I didn't see it either. I just saw the poster. I said, oh, she's hot on that poster.
David Bowie was lusting after her in Labyrinth. And come on, he was an adult guy, and she was underage.
He's David Bowie.
No, he was the Goblin King. Here's the...
He's a freak.
Bowie's cool. Or he used to be. We're looking at the cover of Thunderbolts 110 here. And, okay, I have a problem with Dark Speedball. Or as he calls him...
You mean Penance? Go ahead.
Yeah, or as he calls himself, Penance. Way to, like, destroy a great Steve Ditko character. Seriously.
Oh, God. Okay, fuck Steve Ditko. He does make good characters, but Speedball wasn't one of them. And he needed an overhaul, but maybe not like this, though.
Yeah,
What do you call that, S&M
Speedball? It is, it's an S&M. You know, it's funny because Warren Ellis is the guy who called superhero costumes pervert suits, and of course he's the writer of this series now. I'm looking at, the only character here who was a Thunderbolt back when I was reading it is Songbird there in the middle. And Venom, Bullseye, Green Goblin, Swordsman, and Penance, and for some reason Moonstone's not on the cover. But you got to be kidding me. These are heroes? Your boy Iron Man is going to tell me that these guys are going to protect me?
That was a bit much, yeah. But, yeah.
Mm.
Well, the public is accepting of them. They got action figures and everything. But one thing about the cover, there's a misleading representation, which you know of the Green Goblin isn't the Green Goblin in here. He's just Harry Osborn.
Yeah, and like he's yellow too. He's not green, so he looks more like the Hobgoblin. But you know, okay, I kind of like. Well, I'll get to that. But yeah, I kind of like what Ellis has done with Norman Osborn. I was really annoyed that they brought this character back from the dead in the first place a few years ago, but at least they're, like, doing something with him. So here we have Bullseye is being interviewed by someone, you know, because it says initial interview, Bullseye. And the dude's like, hey, so when's the last time you killed somebody? Bullseye's like, the other day, you know, his father and his son were, like, walking down the street, so I killed him because, you know, felt like it.
And he's, what'd he say? He said,
he's so happy.
He split the popsicle stick in half and put one half through the father's eye and the other through the son's eye and laughed about it. This bastard. I love Bullseye.
I mean, he's a great villain, but that's the whole point, is that he's a villain. The whole original premise of the Thunderbolts was, well, actually the original premise was that they were villains pretending to be heroes. And it very quickly became villains trying to redeem themselves for having been villains. There's no hope of redemption for Bullseye. He's a psycho.
But yeah, I was reading some past Thunderbolts, and you're right, they're redeeming themselves, but they just seem like totally good guys. I'm like, that's unrealistic. They were super villains for so long, and all of a sudden, they're redeeming. Not only did they redeem themselves, they were totally good. And they cared about people suddenly. I'm like, but you were then for like 20 years.
Yeah, they really got away from the premise then.
Right here, they're just interviewing Bullseye, and they got like 6 men on them with guns and rifles and shit. And all they're doing is interviewing the guy. He's chained down.
Yeah, but he's Bullseye. Come on.
Now, what about this scene here where he's like, they're threatening him to be a part of the Thunderbolts, and they're threatening with him. With paralysis, and the last time he was helpless, he's thinking back to him in bed. he's like paralyzed, can't move, in a hospital bed, and Daredevil's sitting next to him with a gun to his head. I like that.
Yeah, that's from back when. You know, I do like Frank Miller's run of Daredevil, because Frank Miller is crazy, and he wrote Daredevil as being as crazy as he himself is. I mean, that was great. That's right. They stuck magical nanites in Bullseye and the rest of the Thunderbolts to, like, be able to control them.
That's pretty cool.
I guess you'd but have
the
to.
The hate in this guy's eye for, like, Daredevil. This is good stuff right here.
And, you know this is going to be Norman Osborn, because even though he's in silhouette, he's got that crazy Osborn hair.
Yes, the crimps. Wave
that no other comic book characters have.
Or the Sandman had it back in the days.
And then they tried, yeah. And then they tried to say somehow that, like, Sandman somehow related to the Osbournes. I don't know, just because he has that hair?
And that's a unique hairstyle, you gotta admit that.
There you go. Ditko was so great, he created such original hairstyles for these characters, they had to come up with, like, explanations for it. And, okay, yeah, skim. This is good. Osborne, like, tasting Bullseye's fear sweat. It's so evil.
You got the most hideous two guys here in the Marvel Universe talking to each other. And he introduced himself to Bullseye that he's Norman Osborn, and it's Tommy Lee Jones as Norman Osborn.
He does look just like Tommy Lee Jones. That's, like, blatant.
I'm like, come on, dog. Who does Deodato?
Oh, God.
What you think of his artwork so far?
See, it's better in this than it was in that Ultimates Annual. But the thing is, like, I remember... I guess it's that I can't shake the way Deodato used to draw. Because when he came up in the 90s and he was drawing Wonder Woman, he was, he was like a fifth-rate image knockoff copycat. Like, it had his art used to have the lots of little lines and everything.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, he's completely changed his style. Like, I know you said it looks like Gene Colan, other than, like, he uses lots of shadows. I don't see that, but he's still, he's way better than he was. I don't mind his art so much on this book. I just hated that, that Ultimates Annual. That was Jack Flag.
Yeah, having an argument with this girl about wanting to still be Jack Flag.
Bitch.
But he's, like, sitting down and having a beer with his feet up. I mean, I thought superheroes, I can never, they're supposed to be training all the time. But he's... But he's sitting out having a fucking beer, getting a beer belly. But,
okay.
If I was him, I would just give it up and just try to live in peace. But he looks outside the window, sees a bunch of a guy getting attacked by, or a woman about to get attacked by thugs. And the girl wants to call the cops. But I mean, come on, he's Jack Flag. He can jump down there and help the girl. Right
but
now.
See, and here you go. He's like, you know, Lucy, you know, I'm inspired by Captain America. I'm a hero. Somebody needs my help. I've got to go help them. And, of course, she's being a typical nagging, whining bitch. But, Jack, if you go down there, we'll never... Meaning she'll never be safe. Bitching and moaning and whining. And he just ignores her. He looks like Grifter from the Wildcats with that mask.
I was about to say that he was inspired by Grifter, not Captain America. But it's what eventually happened with him in the Thunderbolts, this scene was too long. That's why I think too many pages.
You know, now that you mention it, that's kind of true, considering this is basically... This may as well be Thunderbolts Volume 2, Issue 1. And we've got page after page of Jack Flag, who I had never even heard of.
Before. Well, he did exist. I checked in on Wikipedia.
He didn't?
He did.
Oh, okay. Because I know another character later on, Sepulchre. I was actually intrigued enough to look her up, and apparently she was a secret defender for about 5 seconds.
The same thing with all these other good guys that are in here. They're like, made minor appearances in the 80s, like one or two issues.
I'm picturing Warren Ellis going through the official handbook of the Marvel Universe. Oh, yeah, this character. This will be good. Okay, we use. Well, that's the only reason I know American Eagle. From the Handbook of the Marvel Universe.
Actually, I just saw the other day, I saw the Marvel 2-in-1, that one of his first appearances, and I didn't pick it up. Something told me to get it, and I never got it. It was only $1. I should have got it, because it looked interesting, but I didn't know that that's the same character that was in Marvel 2-in-1. I would have bought it, you know, if I'd have known.
Now, see,
but I didn't read these to it today. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, you criticize me for downloading stuff. Remember when that dollar box used to be a quarter bin?
Yeah. But there is a quarter bin around. There is a quarter bin near me. I sometimes go to the one that has the dollar one. I got those old Howard the Duck's and dollar bin, you know. So, then we see Gene Hackman here. He's got his own show with the American Eagle.
Is that who? That does look like Gene Hackman. Yeah, they're doing the thing with Wait a minute. Fix News? Okay, if that's supposed to be Fox, he wouldn't be called. That dude wouldn't be calling Tony Stark Big Brother. He would be saying Tony Stark's a great American. But okay.
Exactly. And who is this? It's like Patrick Stewart. What they're talking about. I guess it's just a bunch of talking heads talking about Thunderbolts.
I guess this is to bring people up to speed. Oh, look, it's Atlas and Mach 1 and Captain Marvel and Zemo. Okay, hey, these are Thunderbolts I actually recognize.
Okay, I didn't know.
We get them for all one panel.
I'm going to make this real quick. This Captain Marvel, who is he, like the son of the original Captain Marvel?
Yeah, that's Janice Vell. And, yeah, he was, like, created in a lab from, like, Captain Marvel's jizz. But it doesn't matter because he's dead now, so you can forget about it.
And then Tommy Lee Jones is doing another interview. And the thing I hate, if you were seeing this whole thing, is Tommy Lee Jones, Harry, or...
just call him Tommy Lee Jones.
His hairline keeps going forward and backward, forward and backward.
Now, see, that doesn't say much for your boy Deodato.
I have to admit that. Now, he's just trying to rip off Greg Land when it comes to that.
Oh, God.
I don't even want to mention him.
Well, I can be as good as Greg Land. Just give me some tracing paper. I can do what he does.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Like, when people have Greg Land's art, people have emotions. It's like, you know, he tells the actor, hey, smile here, grimace here. And then when you see it in the book, it's just like, I was reading one of these Fantastic Four, Ultimate Fantastic Fours, to get caught up to speed on who this guy is, Greg Land. And the girl was about to get in a car accident, and she was smiling. And it just was so out of place. And not only that, it looked like you could tell he traced it from a real picture of a real girl, straight tracing. And the girl it's like every emotion on her and Johnny Storm's face when they were talking to each other was totally out of place.
I don't know, like, if that one cliffhanger in Ultimate FF where, like, Mrs. Storm, the mother, shows up, and the cliffhanger has Sue with her mouth wide open, Mom? And she looks like an inflatable sex toy, does Sue Storm. And then I'm wondering, you know, I don't even want to know where he's copying from now. He probably just looked over in the corner. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll just copy my sex doll. Okay, make her look like Sue.
Totally inappropriate. He sucks. But then we see a picture of Thunderbolt Mountain, they call it. And it's all protected by the military.
Yeah, I'm glad I, like, reread these before we did this, because I didn't catch the first time the bit about the mountain is made of, like, unstable molecules or something, or, like, it's treated with them. That's why, like, it can just, like, open up and, like, rockets can come out of it. That's pretty cool. Okay. Oh, I wanted to say earlier, even though I'm skipping ahead, I'm here where the Thunderbolts are in shackles, that bit about Norman being... Oh, Tony's offered me redemption. Okay, go ahead. Defend Iron Man now. Tony has offered Norman Osborn, the guy who killed Gwen Stacy in cold blood, the guy who killed, if you read the Pulse issue 2, the Marvel avatar of Lois Lane, killed her in cold blood. He's offered Norman redemption. What? And Spider-Man was his boy! Spider-Man was like his protege! And now he's going to give the guy who killed Gwen Stacy this job! What the fuck?
I got nothing. And I could add on to that, he redeemed, put Venom on the team.
Yeah, seriously!
And Bullseye, they're serial killers. They're unrepentant serial killers.
Yeah, Bullseye's only, like, killed, half of Matt Murdock's girlfriends. Venom, well, at least it's not the real Venom, but still.
But it's still just the Scorpion, and he's not a nice guy either. Okay. And it is the real Venom, because it's the same symbiont, right? The same symbiont.
Yeah, I guess we got to call him the real Venom. He does have the alien, but yeah. Okay, did you read that Marvel Knights Spider-Man where all that shit happened?
Mm-mm.
That was horrible. Like, Eddie Brock, I'm not making this up. Eddie Brock goes to see The Last Temptation of Christ in the movies, and he becomes all religious and feels this incredible guilt about being Venom. And, like, then he, like, sells the Venom suit at an auction. And then he tries to kill himself, does Eddie Brock. So that's how MacGargan wound up with the Venom symbiont, because some dude won the auction. He was a loser. The symbiont was like, fuck you, I'm not going to stay bonded to you. And it went and it found MacGargan. It said, yo, dude,
some kind of black market auction?
Yeah, a literal auction. Like the dude.
Now, I like the idea of a black market auction, but the fact that the symbiont would just leave Eddie Brock without killing him or something.
I guess since it's like bonded to his brain too, he knew that Eddie Brock intended to kill himself anyway. But And man, I'm like, wait. All of a sudden, you're religious, so you're going to sell Venom when you know the guy who wins it is just going to use it to kill more people?
That's true, and then the symbiote allowed itself to be sold. That's just weird.
It was all, that whole run was weird. I have a problem with these rockets that, like, seek out. You see the rockets here leaving the mountain, and they go right. And, like, they find the unregistered superheroes. I'm like, why rockets? First of all, why not something that's, like, cloaked that the superheroes can't see them?
Exactly. That's just big and cumbersome. It just doesn't seem, what you call, feasible to have big-ass multi-million-dollar rockets where you can have some kind of, like you said, probes or something.
Actually, like okay.
Skeet-like robots.
As soon as I said that, I had the thought, I guess that's really more so for the public, so they can be like, ooh, oh, yeah. Cool.
This is where our tax dollars is going.
Yeah, it just hit me. My tax dollars are supporting the Thunderbolts. I'm paying Bullseye's salary.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, well, everybody's shackled down. I don't know. Yeah, your superhuman team that you got to rely on, you got to shackle them down. That's a good idea.
Now here's I'm puzzled, frankly. Now, admittedly, I didn't read the issues leading up to this, but neither did most people. And why? I mean, Songbird's not any kind of a threat, nor is Penance or Radioactive Man, probably not Swordsman. Why are they shackled? Definitely not Moonstone. She's the damn leader.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why they would do that. I would just keep Venom and Bullseye. Yeah, I don't understand that.
Especially Bullseye, but yeah.
And now we got these two the newscasters, the regular vapid-looking non-reporters types, and they're reporting on... I don't know, I guess the Thunderbolts are going to action. And they go to commercial break, and we got a little Watchmen ripoff. Where they make a parody of the Thunderbolts having their own action figure line.
I like how they... Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say they have the Captain America figure comes with a screaming voice chip.
They try to make Captain America out to be a bitch. Even the public knows that he's not that. Even though after his performance in Civil War #7, hey, maybe it is kind of feasible.
I have such a problem with that. Why he's not Captain France? Why the fuck did he surrender? Doesn't he read Ultimates and doesn't he know that A doesn't stand for France and that he does not surrender? He's Captain America.
Well, it was just 'cause the people he.
No, see, that's bullshit, though. He does not represent the American people. He represents the ideal of America and the Constitution and what America is supposed to be.
Yeah, but the ideal doesn't mean civilians walking the street get smashed and killed by a bomb.
That was stupid-ass fucking cloak teleporting them right over Manhattan.
Hey.
What?
That could happen anytime, so he needs to be cognizant of that. Hey. It's not Cloak's fault.
Let me really bring it down to schoolyard level. Iron Man started it.
Okay, so yeah. And it's just ironic that, the Thunderbolts got the good guy action figures and Captain America is like the bad guy. And they have the figure laying down dead. I don't even think that would do that in any kid's commercial in front of the Thunderbolts action figures. Actually, you can get a couple of these in real life. You can get the Venom figure. You can get the Captain America figure. So... You'll probably be able to get all the Thunderbolts before it's done.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
And then it showed their first interview with, what's his name, Osborn is having with Moonstone.
I like Moonstone. She's a great villain.
She's a bitch. She's a bitch. No, she doesn't care about anybody.
She's believable. Like, finally, we have a real... Okay.
I want somebody to root for. I like Moon. I mean, I like Songbird better.
Yeah, at this point, I'm pretty much... Well, you figure Songbird, Radioactive Man, and Penance are the only sympathetic characters on that team. So it's pretty much 50-50.
Wait a minute. Not Penance, not for me.
Well, Penance is a lousy character now, but that's not his fault that he's been ruined.
He's always been lousy. He was part of the New Warriors.
No, he was a fun-loving... You don't like the New Warriors?
Well, I like Nova, but the rest of them bastards... Now Rita was cute too, but hey, what's that boy's name? Osborn, he's interviewing her, and he's just saying that Songbird is demoted, right?
Yeah, apparently she was the leader, which is news to me, because last I saw, Baron Zemo was their leader. So apparently...
Well, see, he's gone, eh? There's something... I don't know what. I don't know, nope. But I'm like, he's got his own miniseries, and he's, like, gone, or I don't know.
Apparently, Songbird fucked Zemo, and then Songbird got to be the leader, so okay. I'm just gleaning that from what we've been given in these issues here. Yeah,
But he says she's demoted because I don't like her. She was moralistic and ethically confused.
You, on the other hand, have neither morals nor ethics.
And she doesn't have a problem with that. She takes that as a compliment.
She's like, yeah, she really is. Like, oh, thank you. Hey. But see, Moonstone is one of the very few females in comics written the way females, like, really are in real life. She's evil, she's manipulative, she only cares about herself, she's always trying to get over. Like, yes, this is a three-dimensional, believable character.
You don't think that's generalizing women?
Just a little bit. But she's one of those villains you love to hate because, like Norman Osborn and Bullseye, like, you just know there's no hope of redemption for her. She's never going to change.
And I guess if he lets her keep her Moonstone, that's, you know, if she becomes a leader. Because if she doesn't have her Moonstone, where she can be in a coma for the rest of her life.
Yeah, some weird shit happened at the end of that Avengers versus Thunderbolts miniseries, and Moonstone was in a coma. But apparently the Moonstone that I think she has, like, in the back of her throat or wherever, and I'm just guessing from this one panel, when she clasps her throat. But yeah, apparently the Moonstone is so powerful it, like, enabled her to, like, rise out of her coma, and now she's, like, walking around again and shit like nothing happened. I don't get how the government has the right to take her Moonstone away from her. To me, it's hers fair and square. Because she killed the dude who originally had it and stole it from him, and now it's hers. Finders keepers.
Killers keepers, huh?
Just so, saying.
Oh, so, okay, those rockets are flying around Jack Flag's apartment. And he, instead of, like, keeping a low cover, he runs to his apartment.
Yeah, I would just keep walking like, oh, come on, just keep your head down. You look like every other dude. Just, you know, maybe they won't notice me. He's like, where's my suit? And the bitch is like, where you damn well left it. He just needs to pop her in her mouth. Maybe he did between panels because she's crying here on the next page.
She's about to leave. Oh, I thought she was about to leave, but she wasn't. She was just, she's going to pack to leave with him, so she really loves him, but...
But it, you know, he, she's yeah. A, oh, God.
She's a dead weight. He needs to sit. Move on. And become Jack Flag and get wasted by the Thunderbolts.
I don't know. After this issue, I like Jack Flag because he's all like, look, no, I'm going to save you. I'm going to hold them off and stall them so you can get to safety. And then I'm going to take off and join you. I'm going to do the right thing. This is how, like, Captain America taught me to be. Not that surrendering Captain America, you know, the real Cap. And see this last line. Again, I don't know how you can defend Iron Man and have him record promos for your show, because this comic ends with her saying, oh, she's crying in his arms, they're going to kill you for being a superhero. Yeah, that about sums it up. That's the whole premise of the Thunderbolts. That's Iron Man's grand plan.
Tony Stark can't be more than one place at once. And he doesn't, it's not, he didn't know what the Thunderbolts were going to do.
He hired Bullseye and Venom! He's like, yeah, work for me. I don't care that you're serial killers.
Okay, you're going to keep on bringing up this hiring serial killers thing and keep holding that against Tony.
What else does he have to do? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You got Captain America killed, Aunt May's in a coma. Hey, Aunt May could have the Moonstone to bring her out of her coma. Then the new Moonstone would be Aunt May.
She'd be Golden Odie again.
Oh, you're the one other person on the planet who read that.
I didn't read it. I just know about it.
Yeah, the Aunt May as Golden Oldie story. You know, I think it is definitely time for a break right here.
You never told me of your mother.
Yeah, and he's got... I like these covers, even though I can barely pronounce the cover artist's name. I think it's Marko Djurjevic. But, like, Jack Flagg is posing. He's got red, white, and blue hair, which is false advertising because he doesn't end the story.
And I just thought, that's a weird-looking dude when I saw this. That hair bothers me, but I guess it is a cool cover. Because the Venom, I like the way Venom looks in it. And, okay, so... They're doing an interview. When you go inside, they're doing an interview with...
Oh, poor Songbird.
Yeah. And she's just looking all beat and defeated. Like in your old episode, you were talking about how Peter Parker always looked... When he was younger, he looked defeated in front of J. Jonah Jameson.
You're right. It's the same. Yeah, it is. It's the same. So, like, Norman is J. Jonah in this scenario.
And he's just talking shit to her. And he's like, I'm trying to decide what to do with you, Melissa. And then he's bringing up the fact that she fucked Zemo. And she just got her head down. She ain't saying nothing to him. I mean, why don't you say nothing, Melissa? Melissa, say something.
Well, this is cold when he's like, you not only fucked him, you enjoyed it. I can tell. You like fucking villains? Do you? Huh? Do you? Now he's standing in front of her. It's like, you want some of me? Huh?
And And then, yeah, and he says something like that later on to Moonstone, where he finds out about Moonstone is fucking some dock workers. I think he just wants to get more pussy. He likes that young stuff. He likes like Gwen Stacy.
Oh, I hate God. Oh, I knew you were gonna bring that up.
That's why I hate the fact that they brought it. Well, I hate the fact all that retcon stuff when it comes to Gwen Stacy and Harry or Norman Osborn is fucked up, and I disagree with it, and I hate it. I still hate the fact that he's in here. He shouldn't be here. Okay, he just shouldn't be here.
He had such a great death. See, when a character has a really good death, you don't like to see them come back. You're like, just leave it.
Exactly, and after that, and besides that, he also attempted to kill somebody from Atlantis, one of their higher ups during the Civil War frontline. So why is he? How could he go from being a would-be assassin to, you know, the head of the Thunderbolts?
Because Tony Stark's an idiot. This is all his bright idea. All of it.
Okay, he's not in this book to defend himself. So.
And even if he was around to defend himself, he'd be like, yeah, so I was drunk at the time. What do you want from me? You know.
So he tells Melissa that he says, you're good looking. It doesn't help, you know.
Oh, it's worse.
He should be on the team.
It's worse. He doesn't even see. He says, you're passably attractive.
Ugh. That's cold.
Meanwhile, Songbird is hot. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I know. She's just looking down on the minutely, you know, what do you call that?
Demurely?
Yeah, or diminutive. She's just looking like a deer, a little doe. Looking down.
That's just making her hotter.
I thought she was tougher than that.
I guess like Zemo's Nazi sperm has just like marched into her. Yeah, it's marched into her system and like conquered all of her assertiveness. I don't know.
But what is this word that he's saying? He says, I'm also told you're also quite toybitic. Or what is that? Is that
toyetic?
I think he was trying to say toy biz. I think that's a code word for toy biz. You know, the guys who did the Marvel heroes. And I think they probably did these Thunderbolt heroes here in this comic book, Toy Biz. But anyway, it says the word the media uses when you can make toys off of your face.
That's not going to do anything for her self-esteem. Look, I'm going to let you stick around because you're easy on the eyes, and our media consultants say that kids like the toys we make based off of you.
And she doesn't say nothing back to them. The only thing she says here is, all right. he said, give me a year, and then, you know, I'll give you a lot of money, give you a new identity, which I think that he would screw her over in that year, because he's promising everybody something in a year or whatever they quit, and I think that he just intends for them all to die or something.
I think so, too. That'd be cool if, like, Ellis does stay on the book for a while and, like, a year has passed. And Norman's like, okay, now you're all going to get what you deserve now.
Kind of like the Godfather, the end of the Godfather, just kill everybody. And then, then that stupid-ass Jack Flag walks out of his apartment building, in front of his own apartment building, wearing, you know, his costume. But actually, I guess they know where he lives anyway. And he's just waiting for them to show up.
I just realized something here. I like this costume. This isn't bad. Okay, moving on.
Meet Super Patriot. It's a... old life field. It's like a life one.
I don't know. Yes, it's kind of like a, you know, it's an updated Captain America thing.
Anyway, these fools. The Thunderbolts walk out ready to kick his ass. I'm like, this is ass right there. Look, you got Venom.
Venom's like, yeah, he's look at him. He's like gnashing his teeth, like, I'm hungry.
You got that idiot penance. You got Radioactive Man.
And they put him in like a. It looks like a containment suit. I know that's addressed later.
I don't like that he addresses that later. And then Moonstone. Oh, look at Moonstone.
I have to say something. There's no way. Unless she's double jointed, what is she doing there?
She's just poking her hip out.
She can't be striking that pose and walking.
She probably stopped and was like, let me show him a little ass and not distract him. We can take him. So yeah, that's his ass. I mean, Jack Flag against these guys. Yep. So she gives the orders, and what to do and get him. And she tells Radio Active Man to blow up the cars around him, and just and they're gonna make everybody think that Jack Flag mined the place, you know, and that he has no regard for the public, and that he just blew up the place, you know, just to get the Thunderbolts.
And of course, that is evil, and that's what this is all about. This whole Thunderbolts thing—it's not just about rounding up the rogue heroes. They're also playing this game with the public. Oh, we're going to make the public love these fascist, Stark-serving lackeys.
Well, you got to bring up Stark's name.
And convince them that the unregistered heroes are these evil people who are a threat to the public's well-being. When, of course, they're really the public's last best hope against the real villains, like, well, like the Thunderbolts. But this is great here, because, like, Moonstone's telling, she's like, let's wrap this up because, quote, I have an appointment with a dock worker for some meaningless sex in 2 hours, and I don't intend to miss it.
Then she says in front of Songbird, I thought I might get him to dress up like Baron Zemo for me.
Bitch!
That's a bitch. Oh, Songbird is going to get her before this is done.
I hope so. I really do.
But how much regard for the public does Jack Flag really have if he's going to go, like, out in the public parking lot, you know, and destroy people's car, or, you know, let these property get damaged in the fight that's going to happen here? He's not really much better than them.
What choice does he have, though?
Run. Not to dress up as Jack Flag and walk out in front of the parking lot. Run.
Well, if he runs, they'll get him.
He run to the desert and then fight him there. Okay, well look what happens. Look what happens in your next kind of favorite kind of art, a splash page.
A double page splash.
The whole parking lot blows up because Radioactive Man blew up the place.
Yeah, if he didn't have superpowers, the fight would be over right here.
Oh, God. Oh, does he really have superpowers? He just, like...
I only know because they... Well, I was going to say, they, like, mentioned... And Norman specifically says he has, like, at one point... Or I wouldn't know. Like I said, I never knew about this character before these comics. But, Moonstone actually says, break his arms and legs and get him into the T-Wagon.
Now, she wants to put on a good puppet face, but, you know, the reporters could pick that up, but she doesn't care. And she said, break his arms and leg, but what's that boy's name? The Swordsman says, he asked Jack Flack, does he want to be unconscious before I disable your... Oh, disable. Okay, I thought he was going to cut his arm. He looks like he's going to cut his arms and legs off. He's got a sword.
See, this is what's always annoyed me about characters who have, like, the Black Knight, the original Swordsman, Valkyrie, who have swords in, like, mainstream comics. They can't use them as swords.
Exactly, they're supposed to be super, and this, he's not a hero. But most of those hero guys are supposed to be heroes. You can't cut off people's heads. Like, this isn't Highlander.
Highlander, oh God. But it was always left some shit like, I will strike them with the flat of my sword. Or they'll have rays that shoot out of their sword.
Or they hit them with the hilt. We're going to hit them with the hilt of the sword. It's no good. Doesn't do any good because Jack Flack breaks his sword, then does some kind of super backflip spin, like breakdancing.
He does look like he's breakdancing here.
And kicks the end of the sword into Venom, and Venom is like, ugh, because he got cut with the, you know, he got impaled with a sword. But hey, it's Venom. I don't see why that should bother him, but it does. He falls down on the ground, and he coughs up. You know, I'm like, you're Venom. You mean a sword to the chest is going to kill you. You got that symbiote on you and everything. And anyway.
You know what it is? I don't think Venom's used to being attacked like this. He's used to some guy flipping around, shooting him with webbing.
And punching on him. And then then he kicks the shit out of Swordsman, kicks him right in the chin. Swordsman drops. Then he says, stay down, and smashes his helmet in with his boot. I like that. And then another... Venom is just all talk, all bark and no bite. He pulls the sword out of his chest, but he turns like super big, like it's Incredible Hulk big, and just kill. Is that all you can do?
In Venom's defense, because we see he's about to be stopped, Venom would have eaten Jack Flag here.
Oh, that's true. They told him not to. oh shoot, I gotta get back to the page. I accidentally hit the wrong page. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the one downside of the when you're like reading them on a screen with one of these programs, that happens. But Yeah, Moonstone, like, activates the magical nanites inside of Venom.
Yeah, so she saved him in a little bit, in a way, she kind of saves his life. But he uses a hubcap from one of the disabled cars and uses it as a shield against Songbird.
Poor Songbird.
And she's just like, she's all demure looking. She's like, Moonstone, he's using smoke. You shouldn't have blew up those cars because he's using the smoke as like a camouflage or something. Yeah, he throws, not like this, when he throws the hubcap as a shield, he remembers back to how Captain America taught him. He's like, don't aim at the target, aim at where the target's going to be. And then, I never got this with the hubcap is bouncing off of the parking lot sign, off of the street sign. Okay. And it hits Songbird right in the throat, and she falls. She's having a broken neck from the height that she fell, but okay.
And look how hard she lands on this car, and the car is just a mess there. She hits it so hard.
Yeah, he caves in the top of the car, but I guess she's okay, because in the next issue, she doesn't have any broken bones or anything. He runs, finally, runs through the smoke and Penance uses his power. She says, she's talking to Penance like he's a retard. She's like, do you understand? You have to push all the way, push all this garbage out the way with your powers.
I guess he was just standing there like a doofus, because like in the next issue, they're saying about he froze in battle, and I guess that's it there. But I didn't know he had to turn his... Well, okay, I guess he does have to turn his powers on. And
well, what it is, the reason he's going, because, you know, by those needles in his outfit, he's wearing an Iron Maiden costume, so in order to use his powers, he has to get stuck with the needles.
Okay, that's fucked up.
he has to feel pain.
It's really fucked up.
He has to feel pain in order to use his powers.
Hey, remember when comics used to be light and fun?
And this guy just like, so sadistic. And he likes it too, because he feels so guilty about what happened. But anyway, he clears out all the... Look how he clears out all those cars and trees and debris. Somebody's getting killed in that, okay? Then he hits Jack back in the back, Jack Flag, and knocks him through to the alleyway. And still, Jack Flag doesn't run through the alley because he sees cop cars. And he says, I'm not fighting the cops, not yet. Okay, it's like...
And this, I'm just saying, this scene here, where he is finally trying to hide. Ugh.
Dumbass.
Bullseye.
Dummy.
From behind.
Yes. Cut. Hello. Hello. I just jammed the blade through your vertebral canal into the end of your spinal column. Blame them, because they just wouldn't let me kill you. Now, that's good. And then he lifts him up with one arm.
Just like he killed Elektra.
That's the way you killed Elektra? Oh. And drops him down and says he ain't gonna be no problem no more. And the reason that Bullseye was hiding out, because they don't want to show him in the public. Because I guess that's like showing Charles Manson or Jeffrey
Dahmer. Yeah, at least we have a little realism here. Seriously. Yeah, they would have a hard time selling, Bullseye's reformed now.
He's a murderer and a killer. You'd be having people's moms and shit cry. They ain't got Bullseye. Tony Stark is still...
I just had a thought. Well, what about, like, the families of Venom's victims?
That's true. But they could say, this isn't Eddie Brock. This is another Venom. This is wearing a different suit.
Come on. That's like you said, if Charles Manson was a Thunderbolt and they tried to say, well, this is a clone Charles Manson.
Well, wasn't, like, Venom good for a moment or something?
Again, the 90s. I don't know what was up with that whole decade. Like, he made some kind of a deal. And Peter Parker would never do this. He made some kind of a deal with Peter Parker. Look, I leave you alone, and you leave me alone. And Peter's like, fine. Mm-hmm. What?
Well, he knows his identity and everything. I'm surprised he never told his identity, because he was a bad guy. But he never told everybody.
It's like Norman Osborn. Norman knew Peter's identity. And he was pissed when Peter revealed his real identity, because he's like, no, Peter's breaking the rules. It's only fun if, like, I know his secret, and am I going to tell anyone? I don't know. That was pretty good.
Well, I don't know where Norman was all the years he's been supposed to have been dead. So that's so sad, man. They pull out Jack Flag. He's unconscious, and he's going to be crippled for the rest of his life. And then Moonstone is talking to the press and blah, blah, blah. Oh, check this out. Oh, they...
Swordsman. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they take him back to the base, and Swordsman walks up to him, and this is dirty. You could explain
This is a damn shame because I was a big fan of the Steve Englehart run on the Avengers back in the 70s with the real swordsman. I just want to say the real swordsman, even when he was a villain, would never have done this. Jack Flag is helpless. And all he did to the swordsman was break his sword.
Well, he kicked him in the face, too. He stomped on his face.
Oh, come on. They tried. But
yeah, that's
still.
A fight. That's part of the rules.
The point is that Jack Flag is completely defenseless. He can't even move.
Yeah, the guy says he can't feel his legs and he's almost catatonic with pain, swordsman. And swordsman says, okay, then let me help him out. And punches him twice in the face. Jack Flag, this looks realistic. Jack Flag is like bleeding from the mouth and eyes.
And
so, that's his cold. Sorry, Jack. And he yells, he says, Lucy.
Let's not forget now. These are our heroes, the Thunderbolts.
This is a non-hero group. This is how it's supposed to be. This is the whole point of this book. And it's Norman Osborn. He's just like, God, these guys are such fuck-ups. What do you say here? Or he said something that was funny here. But he just said they're fuck-ups because they could barely take out Jack Flag. They just barely took him out. If it wasn't for Bullseye. And then homegirl, he's like, well, we got another list of targets for Superhuman Affairs. And he says, let's hear the list. And she's like, well, it's not much to hear. We got Black Fox, Scarlet Spider, Digger. This is a horrible name, Digger. Did he pick his own? Dancing Macabre. Oh, my God. Quarble, Purple Mask, Battlestar.
Hey, Battlestar. Okay, at least there's one I know.
People said that was a great series in the 90s, but okay, never mind. I got to go get that. I heard it was a great series.
Oh, he had his own book?
Yeah, and I forgot who it was who did it, but they said whoever it was, he did a great job on it. Then this guy quit comics. They talked about it on the last. I'm not going to mention the name of the podcast.
On Wikipedia, Digger apparently has powers like Gambit. Like you said, he picks his nose, but the boogers that come out of his nose are like supercharged with energy.
I
made that up.
But she names off this. We got Scarlet Spider, Digger, and he turns around. Did you say Spider-Man? And she said, no, I didn't say Spider-Man. So I could have sworn you said Spider-Man. Like, dude, get over it. Okay?
Yes, like, lest you forget, readers, Norman is crazy!
Yeah, he's crazy, and he used to be Spider-Man's arch enemy. So he says, it doesn't matter. I thought you said Spider-Man. Then it shows he got couple of different prescriptions of strong medicine, lithinol, whatever that is, Tegretol, made up shit. And it says not to be taken with other medications.
And here he is, yeah.
This guy is, I know they was glad when they like, this is like a 2000s thing where they got this, they got in 52, what's his name, the Metal Man's guy?
Doctor. I didn't know this, but apparently one of my heroes, Steve Gerber, introduced the idea that Doc was unstable way back in the 70s, that was news to me. But yeah, the whole thing of like Doc's on antidepressants and shit, and then only when they took them away from him was he mad enough to create that plutonium man. And but yeah, that's something you wouldn't used to see.
That's a good idea, because they wasn't doing that in the 70s. They're doing it a lot now. So Steve Gerber, ahead of his time.
And on that note, we're out of here. Go to comicbooknoise.com to listen to Timmy Thume's own show, conveniently titled Thume. Also, tune in next time on Podcast X for more of this Thunderbolts mega review we've got going on here. As the summer of Thume continues.